What happens when the worlds of IT and OT finally begin to converge? That was the focus of my latest conversation with John Walsh, Field CTO at iGel Technology, which was recorded at their Now and Next event here in Frankfurt. Now, regular listeners will know that we first met in Miami, where John and I discussed how zero trust was shifting from just a marketing buzzword into something much more tangible, something built on collaboration, unified management, and strong policy enforcement at the endpoint. But today, our discussion moved from theory to the factory floor, exploring how zero trust is evolving to protect the operational backbone of modern industry. And as organizations modernize their operational technology, the systems that control manufacturing lines, utilities, logistics, and critical infrastructure have all become deeply intertwined with IT. And it's this convergence that is creating new attack surfaces. And for OEMs, the stakes couldn't be higher. A single breach or shutdown can cost millions in lost productivity. So John will share with me how iGel is helping OEMs embrace a prevention-first mindset and embedding security at the endpoint, rather than relying solely on detection and remediation after an attack. So together we will unpack how iGel's immutable OS, Universal Management Suite, and OEM-ready integrations are forming a secure framework that bridges IT and OT, and in doing so, is creating a common operating system and control plane that is actually designed for zero trust from the ground up. And he'll also share insights from his work with partners like Intel, Honeywell, and Zscaler to offer a glimpse into how prevention-first architecture can stop the kill chain before it even begins. Ultimately, today's conversation is going to be about resilience, innovation, and the practical realities of defending industrial systems in an AI-powered threat landscape. So, as AI begins to accelerate both attacks and defense, can a prevention-first security become the defining principle for the next generation of OT protection? A quick thank you to our sponsor for supporting this mission to make technology more accessible and more relatable. And their backing helps me produce over 60 thoughtful interviews a month and share how innovation is continuously changing our world. Let's be honest, security often sounds complicated. Firewalls, segmentation, access policies, it's a lot. But NordLayer takes the complexity away, and in less than 10 minutes, you can set it up across your business and protect every employee connection. And they do that by blending VPN, zero trust access, and malware protection into one clean dashboard. Yep, no hardware, no long calls with support, just toggle it on and get back to work. For me, it's the kind of practical solution I wish existed when I first started working remotely. So if you've been waiting for a security tool that your whole team can actually use without needing a degree in network engineering, NordLayer is it. So please head to nordlayer.com/techtalksdaily and don't forget to use the code techdaily-28 for 28% off. So a massive warm welcome back to the show, John. We last spoke in Miami and you described Zero Trust there as an ecosystem rather than a product. So in Frankfurt, the conversation has clearly shifted towards operational technology. So how do you see Zero Trust principles continuously evolving as IT and OT environments begin to converge?
That's a great question. In fact, you know, if you attended the event, you can see everybody talking about Zero Trust, all of our partners. And iGel evolving as an integration layer, because as I was talking about with our introduction of the active UMS, this universal management system is a control plane.
Yeah.
And that control plane authenticates and authorizes endpoints. We're kind of a unique architecture in the sense that the endpoints can't get access to the network or the applications and ecosystems that they run without authenticating through UMS. And then UMS authenticates the app portal, which is kind of like a curated data plane, right? So you got to go through the IGL Ready program so that we know that that's a secure application. There's a certified approach in order to get laid down on that endpoint through, you know, the architecture. So what's interesting is as we work more in the OT space, we're developing ecosystem partners in the OT, just like we have on the IT side, right? The second thing is we're being able to run on ARM as well as x86. So we're able to provide kind of a common OS that can run the IT as well as the OT side. And as I talked about in the presentation, that central UMS capability allows us to, in this enclave, because you can kind of think about the fact that we have the secure read-only OS with a hardware root of trust kind of as a boundary, right? It can't access the network or any of the applications or data without authentication through the UMS and the app portal. That's kind of an enclave. So within that enclave, I can have endpoints that are in the enterprise or in the OT. And so to answer your question, in some respects, we're already deployed, as you heard, in OT, Audi, but very much in the signage and the VDI type of implementations. But now, as an operating system with this new IGL managed hypervisor that runs natively, and you'll hear tomorrow, maybe I'm getting ahead here, but you'll hear tomorrow our announcement of the IGL managed containers, where we can host containers and container clusters on the architecture, because we're a Linux operating system, we'll have the ability to, with that IMH, that centrally managed, if you will, hypervisor, to run applications on virtual machines. So now in the OT environment, I can begin to run legacy applications. I can run specific types of custom applications. And when we're working with OEMs like Honeywell, and others, they're beginning to OEM us as the platform that they're running their Experian, Tritium, and other things on.
And you mentioned some big names there, and this podcast won't go live for a few days now. And I know tomorrow, obviously, you've just come off stage, and tomorrow you're hosting a panel, I believe. Tell me more about the panel, because you've got some big names there too, right?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. We hear a lot about Zero Trust, and the digitization and modernization of Europe, which includes issues like NIS2, data sovereignty, right? GDPR, DORA. And so while Zero Trust is a kind of example of how you have to take information from devices, network, end users, and all of these things in order to kind of determine what the policy is you'll enforce in terms of their ability to gain access, many of these other regulatory requirements are based on similar principles. And so tomorrow we're going to have some folks that are really engaged in the digitization and modernization of Europe, from Horizon, from BNC Lagoon, from Intel, on trusted execution and confidential compute. We'll have a CISO who's a leader in the security industry talking about, hey, where do we start? What are the practical issues, right? So we'll have some, I think, really thought leadership in terms of, you know, what's happening in Europe, what are the real issues that we're trying to address here, and how are the challenges being met? Where do we get started?
And you mentioned some great points there about identifying the challenges, businesses wanting to know what they should be doing, where do they start. And prevention first security does feel like a bit of a philosophical shift for many organizations and leaders that might be listening that have focused on detection and remediation maybe. So what does prevention by design look like in practice for OEMs, especially if they're operating in high uptime environments? Anything you can share around that or what you're seeing from the conversations you're having?
That's a great question. I mean, so when we talk about OEMs and we talk about critical manufacturing or operations, availability is a big deal.
Yeah.
Right. So in some organizations, We even see, and Agile operates in these environments, we might call them dark. You know, they don't connect to the internet because they don't want to take the risk on availability. The other big concern that you have in a prevention-oriented platform in the OEM architecture is industrial safety, right? You know, so you have to be concerned about, you know, if there's a detection response type of a platform, that you're not shutting something down that could impact you from the standpoint of shutting down a process or something that might have an industrial safety type of an event, right? So most of these OEMs combine their industrial safety kind of thought processes with their IT cyber kind of approach. And so I think what you see on the OT side today is, you know, a couple things, you know, and I'm going to stray from the question and come back. But what you're seeing is, and I talked about this yesterday, is kind of this issue of what's happening on the OT in terms of why now. And, you know, we're doing a better job with implementation of zero trust than the things that you see happening on the IT side. So in many respects, the adversaries are pivoting to the OT side, right? And we're in this environment today where we have, you know, issues occurring in the Ukraine and the Middle East where they're attacking infrastructure. So a lot of these types of sophisticated attacks are getting out into the wild and they're becoming available. And so we're beginning to see more attacks. So if I compare the IT side and I, you know, some of the data from Gartner and so on the IT side, we might see the improvement in the ability to detect a breach to where it used to be maybe 75 to 120 days, now getting down to as low as 15 days to 30 days, right? So we're able to get to the patch and the remediation thought process quicker. But on the OT side, it's not like that. On the OT side, many of these breaches that are occurring are not detected for quite some time. If they actually impact the operations and shut it down, some of them go as high as $22,000, you know, an hour. You look at Jaguar, you know, Land Rover recently, right? Big impact, $1.9 billion impact. You know, when these lines shut down, the drills stop and they're halfway down into the metal that they're drilling. So taking the whole line apart, restoring, it's a big deal. So prevention becomes a big issue. And I think that zero trust, as my talk today, as we map out the details around how we integrate with our OEM partners, what's important is when the OEM partner integrates into the enterprise, into the factory, into the process, we at IGIL have to make sure that we are capable of providing a seamless integration into the other applications that are out in the ecosystem, right? So if an enterprise is looking at implementing IGIL on the OT side, I've got to make sure I can integrate with Copa Data, you know, Inductive Automation, PI Systems, Forge, right? We have to have the ability to provide them that secure architecture integration on the and through that ecosystem on the OT as well as the IT side. And I think if we're capable of doing that with the OEMs and with the enterprise, we've demonstrated through mapping the controls, the MITRE attack framework, and, you know, simulating some of these attacks that if we do it properly, we can stop the attack kill chain somewhere in the process, either IGIL natively because of our secure OS or our partners in the way they're integrated. So one of the things I'm starting to see, and I know this is a long-winded answer, but one of the things I'm really starting to see is our partners COT as a blue ocean, as an area of high growth. So we see Cisco, Forescout, Zscaler, all of the partners that we're kind of using in the IT side moving in the direction of OT. So what that does for us is it allows us to start to take advantage of the capabilities they bring in terms of meeting these zero trust type of requirements and to extend that through IGIL to the OEMs and the endpoints. We're even going as far as some of the application partners that we're dealing with having the capability to do attestation down to the sensor level. So we can bring them to our secure portal. They can do attestation down to level, you know, zero and one in the Purdue model. and provide through their control plane the fact that the sensor data that's coming off of those sensors is accurate, it's true, it's within our secure enclave, and direct that data to wherever the system level need is.
And if we go back, what, just a few years, it seemed that many boardrooms were a little reluctant to invest in things like cybersecurity because it was something that might happen. But now I think we all kind of accept that it's not might, it's when it will happen. And the UK alone, you mentioned Jaguar and Marks and Spencers as well. From all the conversations you're having, did that wake-up call, or was it perceived as a wake-up call, or are businesses taking it more seriously now? And what kind of questions are they asking you?
That's a great question. You know, I big events like Jaguar,
yeah,
get out into the public, right? But quite frankly, I think that from the data, and, you know, I don't have it all off the top of my head, but I was presenting it yesterday. You know, some will say that 62% of operations-oriented, you know, manufacturing processes and so on, have in some way experience some type of a breach.
Yeah.
62%. If you start looking at the average cost, depending on what type of a breach, it's pretty high. Mm. So, you know, I've seen numbers as high as $5.6 million average per breach. But of course, something like Jaguar brings that average way up, right?
Yeah.
But it's not something people are talking about. Now, that being said, what I can say is in the U.S., I've been spending a lot of time looking at zero trust in OT. In fact, the U.S. Defense is about to release the Zero Trust 2.0 requirements. And the new thing is those requirements include zero trust for OT. Okay. So because of our relationship and the work that we've been doing there, we've received the Zero Trust 2.0 requirements. We did quite a lot of mapping. We wrote a white paper, 17-page white paper that we provided to our partners about some of the challenges associated with implementation of zero trust in the OT. And we've been really working that problem pretty hard. So I think that what we're going to see over the next year is an increase in urgency. We're going to see probably maybe led by, like I said, the U.S. defense, who are releasing this next set, if you will, of zero trust requirements that include OT. I expect that Sean Plankey over at CISA, who runs CISA, will closely follow. I've known Sean for a while. He's big on the OT side. I'm sure he'll follow with a set of requirements for the commercial folks. I think Alper Kerman over at NIST, who kind of runs best practices for zero trust at NIST, is also going to follow. And I'm excited. I'll be hosting a fireside chat with John Kindervag at the Cybersecurity Summit in Banff in a week and a half from now.
Wow.
And I have a feeling we're going to have some discussions around this big topic of zero trust. But so I think you're going to see zero trust begin to maybe lead some of the way along with some of these EMEA regulations that, you know, we talked about today.
And finally, before I let you go, as AI-powered threats become more autonomous, do you think we're nearing a point where AI could move from purely defensive to genuinely preemptive security in industrial environments? I've got to say, I'm quite refreshed that there's not been too many mentions of AI during the conference so far. I've kind of broke the rule by bringing it up, but what are your views here?
You know, I've seen a number of statistics. I've seen statistics that show that, you know, vulnerabilities are increasing at some exponential rate. The number of days for a adversary to exploit a vulnerability with AI is coming down rapidly, maybe even faster to deploy a threat to a vulnerability than we can patch and so on. So that's a big argument again for prevention and zero trust, right? So I think that in the OT environment, the AI issue, I think, gets back to something we've always talked about and have been reluctant to do. So the AI models will have to get pretty well demonstrated and proven because we've always been reluctant to go to autonomous. It's one thing to monitor, identify an issue, and then respond and shut down something where you risk availability or stimulate an event that you didn't want to stimulate, right? Mm. So the question is, when will AI get to the point where we have that level of confidence? I really do think it's not a matter of detect and then respond using something like a monitoring tool using AI. I really think it's about getting to this zero trust thought process at a level of sophistication that we stop the kill chain.
And I think that is a powerful moment to end on. During the outro to this episode, I will mention your panel and a few things that I learned from that tomorrow. And best of luck in Banff in a few weeks. I'll be watching you from afar, stalking your LinkedIn to find more about that. But thanks for joining me again. A pleasure as always.
Great to see you, and thank you for the opportunity.
So after our interview today, I watched John host a powerful panel that pulled together thought leaders from Intel, Horizon, BNC, Lagoon and Vector to discuss the modernization of Europe's digital infrastructure. And their conversation underlined just how collaboration, open architectures and confidential computing are becoming the building blocks of European digital sovereignty. And together they also explored how distributed data centers, sovereign cloud models and prevention first frameworks can all create a sustainable and secure path forward. One that's rooted in trust and interoperability rather than dependency on external providers. So from a security standpoint, I think our conversation today set the tone for much of what was to follow at IGL's Now and Next. And John made it clear that zero trust has evolved into the organising principle for a prevention-first future, especially as IT and OT environments converge. I think it's important that he emphasised that most attacks still originate at the edge, which is why securing endpoints remains fundamental. And IGL's immutable operating system and universal management suite provide that very defence, by enforcing strict authentication and containment all within a controlled enclave. And I think the combined takeaway from the conversation John and I had and the panel that I watched today is that prevention first security isn't theoretical anymore. It's being operationalized across ecosystems, whether it be sovereign data centers to industrial control systems. The next chapter in enterprise security will be defined by those who can unify IT and OT, all under a single verifiable trust model, one that secures data, infrastructure, and human decisions before that threat even reaches them. And remember, we've got many more conversations like this over at techtalksnetwork.com. Let me know your thoughts. Connect with me on LinkedIn, X, Instagram, just at Neil C. Hughes. I'd love to hear from you. But that's it for today. So thank you for listening as always, and I'll speak to you all again very soon. Bye for now.